David, is that? Oh,
Yeah,
excellent.
your recording started, yeah.
Fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you so much. Oh, so we left off last week, and we left off with the concept that whatever happened, in other words, Rivka's message and advice and directive to Yaakov Avinu, and the fact that he went undercover, seemingly very deceitfully, and dressing up as Esav and pretending to be Esav and, so to speak, stealing the brachas, was really was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. But that's what should happen. It was Baruch HaKodesh to Rivka in order to give a message over to Yaakov. So it was a message for Yaakov. And we saw more than that. We saw that according to the third explanation in Rashi, that the reason why Yitzchok's eyes became dim in Parshas Toldos, that he wasn't even that old. He was only 123 at the time of the brachas, and Yitzchok lived till 180. So he prematurely lost his sight. The reason for that, Rashi explains in the third pshat there, and I'll give you the pasuk exactly so you can look it up for yourselves, is when Perek Chof Zayin, pasuk Aleph. So Rashi says clearly the reason why Vatichenu is Kadesh Yitol Yaakov is in order that Yaakov Avinu should take the brachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you like, preempted and prepared this, not just the scene, as the Har Magdova told us last week, that the whole relationship between Rivka and Yitzchok was set such that Rivka would never challenge Yitzchok's decision. And when she received this nevuah, she would just pass it straight on to Yaakov. Not just that, but the nevuah coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually preempted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu making Yitzchok's eyes dim and his taking away his sight solely and precisely so that Yaakov would be able to take the brachas. And the way we left off last week was, why so? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu send Yitzchok a nevuah and tell him that this is the way it should be? This is the question. Why go about it in such a strange way? Why didn't Yitzchok just give the brachas to Yaakov? Now, on this question, I'm sure there's more research and there's more, but I found two discussions, two commentaries who talk about this. One is in this wonderful Chumash that we have in Shul, which is the Rav Panimim, the Mikras Gedolos. There's a Pirush in here called Birchas Yitzchok Lilavonov. He's actually got topical essays, is the way to describe it, on various parshiyos in the Torah to explain them and pull them all together. Beautiful, beautiful work he's got over here. The second thing, and someone mentioned to me that Rav Nosson Oudman, Jack Oudman's father, Oliver Shalom, who was Rosh Shiva in Eitz Chaim, really a tremendous, very great person who lived in our midst and in Golders Green and really wasn't utilized much. But he wrote a sefer called Nosson Das. In fact, the family called it Nosson Das. But he wrote to explain this. And he says the following. And I read this out, in fact. He asks our question. He says, what you need to further understand about the whole parsha of Yitzchok, Rivka, and then Yaakov and Esav, why was it necessary for the brachas to be given in such a deceitful way? May Aviv, you should receive them from his father, b'derech zu, in such an underhand fashion, b'loy ba'ofen yashir, and not in a straightforward, upfront way. So he says the following, v'efshaloyma b'zeh. He says the following, that the rotzen Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire was specifically shetochu brachos Yitzchok al Yaakov, that the brachos that Yitzchok would give to Yaakov would be the brachos that Yitzchok thought he was giving to Esav. And why? Because he says the brachos that were given to Yaakov there and then were not just brachos for him, they were brachos for him and his descendants, for the whole of Klal Yisrael, in each generation, going down all the way to us and past us. Why is that? Says Rav Ortman, he wants to suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Klal Yisrael wouldn't always, or not all of Klal Yisrael, would always live up to the high standard that Yaakov Avinu, who was Ish Tom, he was described by the Torah, so an absolute accurate classification of his character was, he was an Ish Tom, he was as perfect as a human can be, and he was Yoshev Oholim, and he sat in the Ohel of Torah. So Yaakov was absolutely steadfast in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no ifs, no buts, no deviation whatsoever. But Klal Yisrael wouldn't always be that way, says Rav Ortman, and I'll bring you a source from this week's Sedra to support this. And he says, therefore, if the brachos will be given to Yaakov with Yitzchak, consciously knowing this is Yaakov who I'm giving the brachos to, the brachos would be implicitly conditional to Yaakov and his descendants living up to that high benchmark, shall we say, of Ish Tom Yosef Oholim, with the shlemus of Yaakov. That's what it would be implicitly conditional. That's what the brachos were given for. And therefore, as a result of that, Klal Yisrael would, as we know, in the majority of history, as I've mentioned before, is startlingly so, that we've been under Esav's thumb, which means that we haven't been performing well, because when HaKol Kol Yaakov, then there's no Yadayim Yedei Esav. It's only when HaKol, spelt Chosa, as the Vilna Gaon says, HaKal Kol Yaakov, when the voice of Yaakov in Tefillah and in Torah is light, is slack, then I Yadayim Yedei Esav, then Esav gets the upper hand. And therefore, look through history, even in the Bais Sheni, second base of Mikdash, the Romans were in charge. The Romans were in charge and they dictated what happened in the Bais HaMikdash. We weren't in charge. So what have you left with? Bais Rishon, it wasn't always so exciting there either. Through history, Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Yehuda, trouble. There was lots of trouble. And therefore, says Rav Ortman, that's why the bracha should be given to Yaakov as if he was Esav. That even when Nebuch, parts of Klal Yisrael behave in some way like Esav, and don't think that Esav was such a rasha. He had aspirations. He was so upset not to get the bechira. He was so upset not to get the brachas. But Esav is someone who cannot control himself and cannot allow his aspirations of Ruchnius to override his momentary greed and desire for momentary gains. That is the description, if you like, the book definition of Esav-like behavior. And since Klal Yisrael in the future would, some of them, through history, would fall to that level, would not be at the level of Yaakov Avinu, says Rav Ortman, therefore, the brachos had to be given by a Yitzchak Avinu in a way that it would serve Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael through the generations, even if we're a mixed bunch at times. That the brachos should still be Yitei Necha, those who should still be there. That's how he explains. Now, what's fascinating, in case you think that who knows whether that's really, how do we know that's all really true? In this week's Sedra, Parshas Vayishlach, there's an encounter, a well-known encounter, when Yaakov Avinu splits the camp to try and divide up, that if one camp gets attacked by Esav and his 400 armies, then the other one could manage to escape. So he in the middle of the night, Yaakov transports them, give you the psukim as well. After Yaakov Avinu davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he did all he could. He did all he could to be able to make sure by Yochum, by Lailo, he got up in the night, Perik Lamud Beis Pasuk Chof Gimel, and Vayikach es Shtei Noshav, he took his two wives, Shtei Shivchosav, two maidservants, es Achados Hoyolot of his 11 children, Vayavar is Mavar Yabuk, 11 because Binyamin wasn't born yet, and he went across River Yabuk, and what he did was, and he took every them and all his possessions over the river. He went back, as Rashi says, for bits and pieces, not knowing the danger. Vayivase Yaakov levado, he was on his own. Vayove ish imoy, a man struggled with him. Ish is an expression of something, choshuv, a person, something, a being, which is to be reckoned with. Who was it? Rashi says, Saroi shel Esav. This was Esav's angel, so to speak. And he fought with him. He struggled, he fought, he wrestled with him, ad alois hashocha, until the morning. Now, the pasuk says, continues, vaya, the sar of Esav, he saw ki lo yochalei, he cannot overcome Yaakov. Yaakov is impenetrable. He cannot manage to weaken him. He's steadfast, he's ish tom, he remains that way, even though he's been for 22 years with Lavan, excuse me, for 20 years with Lavan, nonetheless, he can't. So what does he do? Vayiga b'kaf yerechoi. He touches, is the word. He touches, is the translation. Kaf yerechoi, his thigh. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov. He dislocates his thigh. Ve'yovka imoi, when he wrestles with him. So what do you mean? If he couldn't manage, and the pasuk says, vayaki le'yochalei, he can't. So how does he manage to dislocate his thigh? If you're a really good fighter, surely you're going to defend every part of your person. And if you don't, unsuccessfully, surely you can't say that your opponent can't penetrate, can't overcome you, because he did. He managed to dislocate his thigh. It means he couldn't run away. So what's going on? So one of the Mephoshim explained, and I forgot to look this up to see exactly who it is, but the one of Mephoshim explains, what does it mean? It doesn't say he hit him. Vayiga, he touched the kaf yerechai. So it explains, it refers to the thigh. It is a refined way of referring to Yaakov Avinu's descendants. His descendants, he managed, he couldn't penetrate, he couldn't fight and overcome Yaakov personally, but this Malach knew that the descendants from Yaakov Avinu would not be as perfect, would not be as impenetrable as Yaakov Avinu. And would be able to be makatrig. He would able to, this wasn't a physical wrestling, this was a spiritual battle. He wouldn't be able, he knew that he would be able to pick holes in Yaakov's offspring, in Yaakov's descendants. And that's why Yaakov was limping, because this was something that we were going to suffer until Ad Alois HaShocha, all the way until Bias Moshiach. That's what was going to happen. And that, in that way, he was successful. So here we see clearly that although Sar Shel Esav was the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, it's all the same. It's because Esav depicts giving in to one's desire, not being able to succeed in mind over matter. That was the wrestling. That was the battle. Therefore, you can see that his descendants, Yaakov said, would not always rise to the challenge and be successful. And that, in that he was successful. He was able to wound Yaakov, meaning it figuratively, he was able to wound, to be able to get at Yaakov's descendants. And therefore, says Ordman, this is the reason why the bracha had to be given to Yaakov as if he was Esau. It is itself an interesting question to think about. What happened? What would have happened had Esau received the brachas as was intended? Two questions. Number one, what would Esau have done with the brachas, and what would Klal Yisrael have looked like? Number two interesting question is, surely Yaakov would have turned around and said, Daddy, it's true I'm not the Bechor. It's true I'm not the firstborn, but if you're giving out brachas already because you don't know how long you're going to live because you're within the 5 years of the end of your mother's life, which, as Rashi explained, that's why at the age of 123, he decided to give the brachas. How come? So he's in that 127 with Sarah, so it's within those 5 years he wants to give those brachas. So if so, what bracha would Yaakov Avinu have got? Turns up, the Yitzei Lecha would be given to Esav, etc., etc., etc. When Esav turned up, and he asked his father, Habrocha Achas, he asks in total dismay, and that is at the end of Parshas Todos. So he says the following, he says, Vayome Esav Elavi, he says, Havarocha Achas Hilecha, do you have one brocha left for me? He says, Ovi, my father, brocheni, gamoni, give me a brocha too. Vayisa Esav kol vayevkin, he cried. He wanted these brochas desperately. Vayan Yitzchok Oviv, his father answered, Vayomilov, well, what can I do? He named Ishmane Horitz, from the fat of the land, Yemo Shovecho. He says, and that's what he gave him, Mital Shomai Meol. He says, Valchar Bochotichye, you're going to live by the sword. You'll serve your brother. That was a brocha. That was the brocha that Yitzchak gave to Esav in the end. That's what he gave him. And he continues the last bit. If and when Yaakov will lehoirid means to let down, when he shirks uloi, uforakto uloi, and he removes his responsibilities of avodas Hashem mi'al tzavorecho, then you'll be able to overcome him. That's what he says. So that's what the brachas. But what would Yitzchak have given to Yaakov Avinu? So the answer is that Yaakov Avinu didn't need a bracha from Yitzchak, because this bracha that was given, v'yitein lecha, was Yitzchak meant it for Esav, because he hoped, and this is what this beautiful Pirush Birchas Yitzchak Liakov explained. Yitzchak was under no disillusion. He was not in any way, in any doubt who Esav was. He knew, and as we explained last week, but he had high hopes from the Malachim, as we explained, that someone overcomes their evil inclination, can reach a higher level. He had hope somehow, maybe, Esav will rise to his potential. But this Pirush, Birchas Yitzchak Levonov, says, actually, he's far more cutting in his explanation of who Yitzchak knew Esav was. Yitzchak had tried his best to keep Esav warm and close in the hope that maybe Esav, if he gets preferential treatments, if Yitzchak shows Esav that he believes in him, maybe that would turn him around. If he treated Esav as he really needed to be treated, that would push him away. He would sever his ties with his great father Yitzchak and his great mother Rivka, and he would be all on his own. He'd go and serve Avodah Zorah, he'd go around killing people, he'd go around stealing, and he'd cut off all ties with any positive influence from his great parents. Not just that, says the Pirush here, but he would have a go for Yaakov, because Yaakov was his ultimate conscience. This was Ish Tom Yoshev Aholim. He was his twin. Every two peas in a pod. Why wasn't Esav living up to that level of existence that he knew was the right thing? He knew that was what he should be, but he couldn't or wasn't prepared to make the sacrifice and resist from this physical desire following it through. So an awful conscience, Yaakov around, is an awful conscience, an awful prick and dagger in his heart, and as long as Yaakov is around. So he explains that Yitzchak feared that Esav would certainly turn on Yaakov and do away with him, but he even feared that he would turn on his own parents. So in order to stop Esav getting worse, that was Yitzchak's treatment of Esav. And he'd hoped that Esav would respond to the positive influence and would change. But he knew the time it came to the brachas that Yitzchak was himself was a Navi, an incredibly great man. He knew very well that Esav wasn't up to it. Nonetheless, he said, he thought, if I give him the bracha, and this explains why Yitzchak asked him for matamim, please, aseli matamim, make a beautiful, tasty dish for me, and then I'll be able to give you a bracha. What do you mean? Yitzchak sounds as if he's the chas v'shalom, somebody who's gluttonous, somebody who's got olam hazeh in his sights, and he's going to have this. He explains, no, exactly the opposite. Yitzchak was so upset at having to give Esav these brachas, but he felt he must do it to reduce the fallout of Esav, that he thought the only way he can give a wholehearted bracha is if Esav is mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. He goes and he makes him a sumptuous meal, not that Esav Yitzchak needs to eat it, but that Esav is doing a mitzvah in the best possible way. Plus, says the Birchas Yitzchak, that some wine, brought him some wine. Why? Somehow that's what wine was created for cheering up the Avelim. And Yitzchak was in a state of Avelus, realizing who Esav was and who Esav had become irrespective. And as a result of this, what happened was that that's why Yitzchak asked for all of this, in order to be able to do mind over matter, what pained and hurt Yitzchak terribly to give these brachas to Yitzchak, to Esav, but he knew that's what he had to do. And that was all, the whole business. So much so, says this Birchas Yitzchak, why was it that when Esav came in, and immediately after, says the Pasuk, it was ach, vayi ach yotze yotze Yaakov, just as Yaakov left. What happened? Esav Achiv and Esav, his brother, Bo Mitzedo, he arrived in. This was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, the Medrash says that Esav was chasing, trying to hunt. Normally, it's not a problem to hunt and bring a couple of goats. What's the problem? But says the Medrash that the goats ran away, and they ran away in a soup that was turbocharged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they ran and they darted from here to there. No arrow that he shot was able to kill them. And these are, of course, goats, are domesticated animals. And nonetheless, Esav was delayed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that he would only turn up just after Yaakov would have time to leave. And therefore it says in the Pasuk, as Yaakov left, Esav turns up. Now, he brings this wonderful food that he'd made for Yitzchak. And he says, here I am. He says, Vayoveh le'aviv. Vayomel Avi says to his father, Yokum Avi, let my father rise, v'yochal, and eat. But why? In order that your soul should bless me. So there's an allusion as well. Your soul should bless me, to somehow raise Yitzchak's spirits to be able to give a bracha. Vayomel Yitzchak Avi, miyotah, who are you? Vayomel ani bincha b'chorcha Esav, I'm your brother, your son, your firstborn Esav. Next pasuk. This is the question. Yitzchak trembled, an exceedingly great trembling. So who was the one, Hatzod Said, who hunted Vayoveli and brought for me? And I've eaten Mikol from all he brought me, the Terem Tovoi, before you came. Vo'avorachayu, and I blessed, gave him the brachas. Yitzchak trembled. The same pasuk, straight away, without a pause. Gam Baruch Yehiyah. He should still be blessed. I'm not retracting the bracha. Not just that. He gave a confirmation of the bracha. Gam Baruch Yehiyah. He should still be blessed. Blessed, we're blessing him on top of the bracha I gave him. Why? So why was he trembling? What were we so worried about? And if he was so worried, and he thought it was wrong, and Yaakov shouldn't have got the bracha, so why didn't he retract the bracha? Why gam baruch yiyah? So Rav Ordman, I put this together as a combination from here and there. Rav Ordman quotes, I've got it here. Rav Ordman quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. By Yecharad Charoda Gedola Ad Moed. Omar Rav Levi b'shem Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. So Rav Levi, in the name of Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, says, Shtei Charodois. If you've got over here too, Vayecha Rad Yitzchok Charoda Gedoyla Ad Me'od, that's considered two tremblings, he says. Achas al gabei amizbeach, says the Medrash, once when he was on the Akedah, the Achas kashenichnas Esav, one this now, many years later, he was 37 then, 90 years later, when he's now 123, excuse me, my maths isn't very good. So he was 37 then, and now he's 123, so therefore it was 86 years later, he said, kashenichnas Esav, says the Medrash, ve'ena to yodea Esav mehem gedoylo. We don't know which trembling was greater. Elo, you only know Mimasha ad Kurakan Gedoila ad Me'oid. The fact that it is exceedingly Ata Yudea Shazu Gedoila, we know this is greater. Well, how do we understand this? So Ordman says, how do you understand this Medrash? So Ordman says the following. What happened when Yitzchak? Why would Yitzchak have trembled at the Arkadah? Well, that's an obvious one. He was about to lose his life. He was about to be shechted. His life was rapidly coming to an end, as that knife was just about to come down. So understandably, Yitzchok would have trembled. This is the end of my life, says Rav Ordman. But when he heard, when he realized what was going on with Esau, when he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had swapped the brachas, maybe similar, very different though, to Ephraim and Manasseh, that the Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas, they were both tzaddikim, but Ephraim's descendants were going to be greater than Manasseh's. And therefore, that's why they were swapped. Baruch Hashem, both tzaddikim. But in this case, Yitzchak realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu had swapped the brachas and hadn't told him. That gave him confirmation. Esav gave Yitzchak confirmation about Esav's future, that there wasn't a hope of Esav truly turning his life around and being a tzaddik, reaching that level. That Esav was not to be trusted with the bracha. Yitzchak realized that when he realized that Yaakov had come first. Not a moment of criticism against Yaakov Avinu. He understood that it was Me'ez Hashem. He understood, Yitzchak did, that this was a clear confirmation that Esav would never live up to his potential. On the contrary, he was going to go downhill from then on. And therefore, that Yitzchak trembled. What can be worse than ending one's life on the Akedah, which was ending one's life listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kiddush Hashem, would be somebody who continues their life, living a life of a tremendous Chilul Hashem, of a tremendous letdown, a life of Averus after Averus, that would be worse. So any trembling, says Rav Ordman, that's what the Medrash is saying, any trembling that Yitzchak Avinu was humanly have as a result of self-preservation, because his life was about to come to an end, when that knife, that chalaf, was about to come down before the Malach intervened, b'shem Hashem, Yitzchak Avinu trembled far more at the thought that Esav was going to develop into a Rasha, or continue developing into a Rasha, and would live as a Rasha, unlike the Ben Sorah Umorer, whose life is brought to an end early, because in order to save him from his own hands, from his own behavior that would clearly be a future development of him, Esav was allowed to live. That's how he explains, and that's what was going on. And as a result of this, this is why Yitzchak really wanted that Esav should live a life. He knew he wasn't going to be Yaakov, Ishtom Yoshev Aholim. That wasn't his character. That wasn't his potential. His potential was Admoni. David HaMelech, by the way, was also called Admoni. He was born, he was red-fleshed, he had a red complexion to him. He also had a bloodthirsty nature, but he used it to kill Goliath. He used it to fight the Melchomas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to defend Klal Yisrael, to do the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was David HaMelech. Esav had that potential, but he wasn't going to get there. And therefore, what was going on was that Esav could have used his character to be the Zevulun, to be the one who was going to look after the Gashmias, so that Yaakov Avinu could singularly focus on Avodas Hashem, on the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Esav would look after the Gashmias for him. There would be this partnership, and that Esav would, even if he wouldn't reach the spiritual heights of Esav, of Yaakov, but he would nonetheless get the schar of Yaakov by assisting him, by flanking him. And indeed, in this week's Sedra, we find that the encounter of Yaakov and Esav, at the beginning of this week's Sedra, it was supposed to be something which was going to be incredibly acrimonious, which is why Yaakovina prepared for war, for presents, to run away. What happened in the end was a very, very different encounter. What happened is, Esav saw Yaakov. He saw him with his incredibly pure, with his pure look, his family, his surroundings, which were those of Kedusha and Tara, and Esav recognized, this is the ultimate. So here it is. What happened was, Vayisa Yaakov Einov, he picked up his eyes, Vaya, and he saw, Vinei Esav, boy, Esav's coming, and with him are 400 men who are heads of armies, and he arranged, etc. And what happened is, Vayoretz Esav Nikrosei, when Esav saw him, he ran towards him, dropped his armament by Chabkeu, and he hugged him, by Yipol at Savorov, he fell, by Shokeu, by Yifku, and they cried. Esav at this point saw, this is where I belong. I need to be Yaakov's assistant. That is my ultimate success. And that's what he saw. And in fact, he said to him the following, Vayomer Esav, yesh li rov, I've got plenty. Yehi lecho asher loch. The bracha is yours. I've got it in order to serve you. And what happened was that Esav turns around and Esav says, Vayomer, Neil Nisov and Elecho, let's travel and let's go together. I'll care to flank you with all my protection, with all my armies, with all my everything else I've got here. I'm going to flank you and assist you and be there with you. The Elchol and Negdecho, I'm going to go. It'll be different. I'm going to compliment you. I'm going to look after the Gashmias and you can focus on the Ruchnias. Vayomer Elav, Yaakov said to him, thank you so much. He gave an excuse. You know that the children are young. You know that the flock and the herds are slow to move. If I rush them, they're going to die. I'm going to go slowly. You go ahead, he said to him. And I'm going to reach you. Don't worry. I'll catch you up, he says. Ad ovoy el adoni seiro. I'm going to, when I get to Seir, I'll get there. You go ahead. I'll go at my pace. And Rashi explains, how can Yaakovina tell a lie? He never got to Seir. So he says this refers to what it says in the Pasuk in Ovadia, and we say every morning, Yaakov will yet catch up with Esav. Esav will yet perform perfectly as Esav was supposed to. When? Moshiach time. Then Esav will serve Yaakov. He will serve Yaakov and flank him. And that's the ultimate bracha when Yaakov is behaving perfectly and Esav wants to partake in it positively. That's the way it'll be. And only then, it says, Vayover Yaakov Sholim, Yaakov went from there Sholim, because that was going to be the ultimate. That was going to be the repair of the Tzetzoyim of Yaakov. But Yitzchak didn't want to give those brachas to Yaakov, because the Gashmias, the temptation of the wealth, once Yaakov got those brachas, he would have to straddle a very difficult middle line. He would have to manage to keep the Ruchnias and the Gashmias, one in one hand, one in the other hand, so to speak, and make sure to balance them correctly. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. And Esav wouldn't have given over the Kemach to Yaakov. He wouldn't have looked after him. Had Chas v'Shalom Esav received those brachas, he would have kept it all. And Yaakov would have been left with nothing. He main Kemach ein Torah. That would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. But Chas v'Shalom, he main Torah ein Kemach. Yaakov Avinu got the bracha, says the Pirush here, in the Pirush on the Chumash here, Birchas Yitzchak Lebonov. If that's why Vayitein Lecha Ho'elokim, Vayitein Lecha Ho'elokim, Loshen Elokim is Midas Hadin. Yaakov will only get it if he puts the Ruchnias before the Gashmias. And Yitzchak was worried that the temptation, Vayishman, Yeshun, Vayuvot, Yaakov become prosperous, Chas v'Shalom, he, his descendants, they would rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Yitzchak didn't want to give those brachas to Yaakov. He wanted to take away the temptation from Yaakov and give them only to Esav. But now that Esav wasn't failing, was going to fail in his mission, future mission, it had to be given to Yaakov. Yaakov needed the wherewithal to build the yeshivas, to build the schools, to build the kolelim, to build the kehillas, to have the wherewithal, the financial wherewithal to be able to imein kemach in Torah. And therefore, that's the situation we're in, all the generations. Esav is there to give us hetch when we don't behave. When Hakal Kal Yaakov, then Nebuch, Hayadaim Yedei Esav. What's the Te'elas? Esav doesn't get any reward for it. But in practice, it is the Rotzen Hashem that Esav will keep Yaakov in track, will keep Yaakov in shape and on the straight and narrow. That's is Esav fulfilling his mission in a most negative way, not going along with Hashem, but being the object of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen, being the beating stick when Yaakov doesn't behave. On the other hand, when Yaakov does behave, then Esav will serve him. Esav will be there to help him out. And that's where we are. This is the thing, who's on top and who's underneath. Esav's conscience remains to be Yaakov. Where Yaakov behaves as he should behave, it is showing up Esav. It's showing Esav, no, you could have been like this. This was really where you should have been. When Yaakov doesn't behave the way Yaakov behaves, then Esav shows up Yaakov and says, you're supposed to be the chosen nation. Look at the way you're behaving. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me the upper hand as a result. So this struggle, Vayovek Ishimoi, is going to continue right through history, Ad Alois HaShocha, until dawn, until the dawn of history, until it goes on all the way until Bias HaMashiach. At that point, then Vayizrach Lo Yashemesh, then Yaakov will be in a stable state. Esav Volum Rishim Ba'atzir Nishbetes HaReisav, and Esav will serve Yaakov and feel it's a privilege to do so. This gives us a little bit of an opening, of an understanding and appreciation. There's much, much more. But time doesn't really allow to be able to. This is what we have, an inkling of what's going on, of our obligations as Yaakov to try and do our very, very best. Yaakov is still blessed nowadays, even though it's not perfect. Whichever faction of Klal Yisrael is not perfect. It's not in Golus. It's not Ishtom. Maybe Yoshev Aholim, some of it, but it's not quite Ishtom. We're not perfect. There's things, and therefore we're in Golus. We're under the thumb of Esav. On the other hand, we are the world's conscience in terms of showing an example of how to behave, and as much as we keep steadfast. And this is the grappling of these two, Yaakov and Esav. These are the brachas that Yitzchak gave, brachas to be able to have the best results through history. They had to be given to Yaakov, couldn't be trusted in the hands of Esav, but they had to be given to Yaakov, as Rav Ordon explains, that they would cover a range, a spectrum of percentage fulfillment of the true Yaakov within Klal Yisrael, to make sure that Klal Yisrael is blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu right through the generations. It would never have worked had it been up front as it was. Yitzchak would have given Yaakov the brachas that belonged to a perfect Yaakov, and the result of it would have been that the collapse of Yaakov too. And therefore, that's how it's explained by Rav Ordman and by the and by this wonderful Pirush, a combination with Rashi, with the Midrashim, with everything that's explained. And that is the picture that we have, gives us a completely separate notion. Maybe what we'll do next week, and it's Hashem been asked to maybe do the similar thing again, to explain what was going on with Yosef and his brothers. Surely Yosef had tzaddik, as he's called, but the brothers were all tzaddikim. Just a short introduction, and we'll do Mitzvah Hashem, start this next week in Mitzvah Hashem. That what we've got over here is Yaakov was called the Bechir HaOvos. He was the greatest of the Ovos. I couldn't judge, and nobody else could make that statement, but it's Chazal. It's Chazal who've done so, Ruach Kodshom, that Avraham Avinu, as great as he was, had a Yitzchok and a Yishmael. Yitzchok, as great as he was, had a Yaakov and an Esav. Time it came to Yaakov Avinu, the impurities that came from Terach and going back had been completely removed. And all Yaakov's children, Mitosai was Shlema, they were all Tzaddikim. They were all Tzaddikim. They're explicit in the Midrashim, in the Gemaras, they were Tzaddikim. Vayu b'nei Yaakov Shlemasa, they were 12 Tzaddikim, perfect Tzaddikim, apart from Dina, of course. These were Tzaddikim. Yaakov Avinu's an offspring, his legacy left behind him was all of Tzaddikim. If so, how could it be? What was going on? What was the debate? What were the two sides between the Shvatim, the 10 Shvatim, Binyamin wasn't involved, and Yosef HaTzadik, whose name itself tells you there was real tzidkus? How could they possibly want to kill him? Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try and get Mitzvah Hashem the true picture through the lens of Chazal. Mustn't make anything up ourselves. We can only take it from trusted and reliable Mefarshim who give us a true picture, instead of bringing them down to our level to try and make something of it. We need Chazal's periscope that will lift us up to their level and then have a trusted explanation as to what it was. So incredibly different to that of the Bible critics. And Mitzvah Hashem, all being well, we'll maybe have a long shiur next week as well. All being well, I think it'll be 8:45. I'm sorry, I wanted to fit in another shiur at 9:00, so I brought this one back. But here we are. Hopefully this gives us some idea and gives us the Dvar Torah for this week too. We've talked plenty about Parshas Vayishlach too, and the Mitzvah Hashem, all being well, we'll be able to spend a few minutes on Friday night addressing another aspect of Parshas Vayishlach.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Good night.
Yeah.
Any questions, you're very welcome.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Sure.
It's on the Sedra, but yes. It's not specifically about what you've been talking about between Esav and Yaakov, etc.
The grace of pleasure. If I know the answer, with the pleasure. Grace of pleasure.
Okay. Before Yaakov was going to meet Esav, he did three things, and we know about these three things. He split the camp, he davened and sent presents, etc. And the splitting of the camp.
Yes.
And he sent half the camp away, and I've read that he actually sent them a long way away. I think like 20 passes or something like that, a full day's journey.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is that his mother, Rivka, having had a nevuah, that both himself and Esav would die on the same day.
The same day, yes.
So that if they were more than a passer away, and then this couldn't happen, that all of them could be killed.
Right.
Okay. So if that's the given, if that's the situation, and half the camp is at least a passer away, or a 20 passer away, more than a day's travel, how comes when he met Esav the next morning, everybody's there? Everyone's together, and it mentions that Yosef was standing in front of his mother to protect him. So that everyone's there, But the night before, they were a day away, and the next morning, everyone's there.
Because the Malochim was sent ahead. And since that was successful, what happened with the Malochim, maybe I'll explain that on Friday night to Mitzvah Hashem. But what the Malochim did, there was a huge change. The situation was all the preparation, the preparatory work was done by the Malochim. Rashi says, Vaishlach Malochim, Malochim Mamash, he sent angels. Maybe we'll talk about that and that thing. And therefore, it was now safe for Yaakov Avinu to meet Esau.
Okay, I mean, so what, the angels came back and said that it was safe, even though Esau was coming towards him with the army?
Yeah, 100%. I'll try and address that in Mitzvah Hashem Friday night, all right? So we'll be able increase the clarity on the picture, what happened there.
Okay, look forward to it.
Excellent, say very good. Good night, all. Culture.
Thank you.
Thank you.